Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Today, I'm going to talk to you as we're going into Thanksgiving weekend. I'm already in Lamaze classes to learn how to breathe. How about you? I got my maternity pants on, but I am excited. Last week I was in West Palm. Today I'm streaming to you. But the Lord began to bring a word to me as we're going into Thanksgiving weekend that the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. Some of you are going through difficult battles right now, battles of cancer, battles of depression, battles of, I don't want to depress you anymore, but how many of y'all understand you're in a battle right now? I'm not talking about lightweight stuff. I'm talking about big stuff that has been affecting your mind for a long time. But I want to go to that passage one more time we just read from. In verse 17, it said, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." You will not need to fight. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, this fight is bigger than you. It's taller than you. It's longer than you. I like this mic. I brought it out today because Nicole's always getting on me about the mic. She says, "If you're not careful, David, what you do is you'll allow one person on Instagram to have a microphone in your life. Thousands of people are saying how great you are, and one person will say one thing, and you'll give the mic to the devil." And I'm here to tell you today, all this weekend, going into Thanksgiving weekend, that the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's, and I want to make sure that you get the mic in the right hands. You're an overcomer, you're blessed, the supernatural power of God is going to come on your life in a way that you never thought before, but you got to make sure that you position yourself for a breakthrough. Come on, somebody shout amen. Anybody want a quick work? Somebody shout quick work, quick work, quick work. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's a quick work." Quicker. Position yourself. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. This battle that they were up against, these enemies, three different nations come against them all at once. They weren't expecting this. This is an unexpected attack. It was an Amazon delivery that they did not order. Anybody ever had that? You're like, "What is this? This isn't mine." And so I didn't order this attack. As if you read the whole text there, it says that the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. But during that time, Jehoshaphat was feeling the pressure. In other words, the bill is too big and you can't pay it, but you think, "Well, I've got to pay it." Well, you know, the thing is, it is God's, but it's my body. It is God's, but it's my child. I love the way that it says, position yourself at this moment to understand and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There are times in your life that you got to realize that this thing is bigger than you, but it's not bigger than your God. That this situation is large, but it's not in charge. That you are in charge of your future. Somebody ought to shout amen today. I know West Palm is participating with me. But it's not your fight. I had a friend growing up. His name was Jimmy. Everybody shout Jimmy. Jimmy Brewer was his name. He had chest hair in the fourth grade and a prison record. This kid liked to fight everything, everybody. And I was never brave alone, but I was always brave when I was a Jimmy. Because Jimmy woke up fighting. His dad fought. In fact, they had a shirt that said, "If you're going to fight me, you got to fight the whole trailer park." And Jimmy always was a fighter. He didn't mind fighting. He didn't care getting scratched up. And I would really get bold when I was around Jimmy because people would pick a fight or they would cause a problem. And when I was alone, I wasn't too mouthy. But man, when I was at Jimmy, I could write some checks. Can I get an amen? I'd be writing checks. Jimmy, go whip him. Jimmy, go beat him. I'm here to tell you that God told me to tell you. He reminded me of that story when I was a little boy, and this guy was in the fourth grade, that you don't have to fight in this battle, that you're getting ready to write some big, bold faith checks in 2020. Somebody shout amen today, because the devil's no does not compare to God's yes. You don't fight in this battle alone. You have a friend. I had a friend in Jimmy, but you got a friend that is bigger than this friend. This friend is the friend that sticks closer than a brother, that is there for you in the midnight hour, that'll take situations and return it to your good. I like that song. It says, "God works all things together for my good." Travis Green. "He's intentional, never failing. He works all things together for my good." He's intentional. I remember here in St. Louis, and I believe we're going to have a building in West Palm Beach, Florida in 2020 by December, in Jesus' name. But here in St. Louis, we got the Earth City campus. I'm right now preaching here today from Sunset Hills campus. But God gave us this campus, and we had a grand opening with Joyce Meyer scheduled. And the media had really been hammering Joyce, and the St. Louis County, a couple officials didn't like Joyce Meyer at all. They were fine with me, but they didn't like Joyce. So the one lead inspector came in and he told Nicole, because Joyce Meyer is opening it, I'm telling you, you will not get your occupancy, your temporary occupancy on that Friday night. We're going to do an occupancy that morning inspection, but you will not get it that night. Nicole said, oh, please, won't you just please work with us? There's any way. He said, no, I'm not telling you that. Well, that Friday, all of a sudden, a new inspector showed up. And Nicole asked about, where's so-and-so? They said, oh, he's not feeling well today. And so the guy checked it all out, and we eventually, that afternoon, got the occupancy permit, and you know that Joyce Meyer opened the building. Now let's fast forward about 3 months later. They were coming up with the final occupancy permits that needed to be done, and all of a sudden that guy walked in the building. Nicole said, oh, I'm so surprised to see you. We were expecting you that day. What happened? He said, I don't know what happened. I woke up that morning, I couldn't walk, and I couldn't walk for 3 months. My legs were paralyzed. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen today. I'm not saying that God works for the mafia, but he did make them. Come on. Everybody was created in God's image. God was kind of like, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. You're going to be paralyzed from the waist down for 7 months. Thank God he didn't put a horse head in his bed. Can I get an amen? I'm just here to tell you that God will not allow the enemy who was saying that he was not going to give us a permit. The enemy was not permitted by God because God said, all you have to do, David, all you have to do, Nicole, is position yourself. This battle is not yours. It is the Lord. And I'm prophesying to somebody right now that you're in a difficult situation. Come on, somebody agree with this. I'm saying that God is positioning around for you, and there's somebody bigger than Jimmy Brewer with chest hair and a prison record who's showing up on the scene today. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Somebody give God some crazy praise. Come on, West Palm Beach, Florida. Prophesy. Prophesy. You can be seated. Prophesy. Everybody shout, prophesy. Now, verse 1, it says, and it happened after the people of Moab were with the people of Ammon and others. Three groups of people came up against him, came against to battle against Jehoshaphat. Some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great number of multitude is coming against you beyond Syria. A great number. Sometimes you can get bad news that scares you. I've been shaken, but not shook. There's a difference between shaken and shook. I'm a pilot. I have a Florida, because I'm a Florida resident. I have a driver's license for Florida, which doesn't mean anything because that's where all old people go to die in Florida, and they give the license to them. But I also have another license with the FAA that says I can fly airplanes. And one of the things that they teach you is to make sure that you aviate, navigate, and communicate. If all else fails and something falls off the plane, how many of y'all know you got to keep aviating and you got to keep navigating? In other words, don't run anything. And then you got to communicate to the tower what's going on. See, there's times in my life to where bad things have happened in an airplane. I was in Chicago even this weekend, and years ago, as soon as I saw the page, I had a flashback because about probably 18 years ago, a huge microburst of wind hit the left side of the airplane, shoved me off the runway at 100 miles an hour, and I was taking out runway signs. I was shaken but not shook, because in difficult situations, you can be shaken, but if you don't get shook up, then you can arrive at your destination in one piece. And I prophesy over people today that you might have been shaken, but guess what? Your feet is upon the rock, and the rock that we serve will not roll. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. Thank God for God and his love. I've been shaken, but not shook. Look at your neighbor and shout, I've been shaken, but not shook. So he said, Jehoshaphat feared, and he proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. And I love this part. He asked help from the Lord and all the cities of Judea, and they came together to seek the Lord. He said, hey, we're going to fast. We're going to seek the Lord. This sounds like what was happening to us, church, in the revival of 2020 when we said that we are going to have 20 minutes of prayer for 20 days. And then God showed up right here in Sunset Hills, and miracles started happening, and signs and wonders started following, because we, as the people of God, said we're going to position ourselves to seek the Lord. May I tell you, in 2020, to have your banner year, to have a jubilee, to have a supernatural breakthrough, you can't be who you used to be and who God's calling you to be today. I'm telling you that it's a brand new day and a brand new hour. And yes, the enemy has come against you three ways. Yes, three different nations. But guess what? The Bible says when they come at you one way, God will cause them to flee from you seven ways. You've got to position yourself. Somebody shout amen in the right position and know that God has got this. Then Jehoshaphat, verse 5, said, stood in the assembly of Judah. And verse 6 says, and he said, O Lord God of our fathers of heaven, do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nation? In your hand, is there not power and might that no one is able to withstand you, right? Sometimes you got to just remind yourself of how big God is. Last week I preached a sermon about, you know, one fling of a sling can make you a king. And I began to talk about how that David saw that big giant, but he had that one sling in his hand. And with one fling of a sling, he became a king. He went from a nobody to a somebody just like that. And I prophesy over you right now that if you will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, you will not have to wrestle with this anymore in your mind. You will not have to wrestle it with your body. You'll say, you know, I'm positioning myself in prayer and fasting, and I'm going to fight for the focus, not fight about the fight. Fight for the focus. I want you to write that down. Everybody shout. It with me. Fight with the focus. Fight with the focus. You got to fight with the focus. You got to say, who am I fighting? Marriages do this all the time. Nicole had spent some money one time that she shouldn't have spent, and I got the bill. And when I get scared, I get angry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Get scared, get angry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I get scared, I get angry. So I was scared that I couldn't pay the bill, so I need to get angry at Nicole. Then I realized all of a sudden that I don't need to fight at Nicole because she's my biggest money-producing person in the world. She had a job. I don't need to run her off. She needs to stay and help pay the bill. But in marriage, you need to understand. With your kids, you need to understand. Fight with a focus and realize you're not fighting flesh and blood. The problem is not, you know, the bill. The problem is maybe we're missing a budget. The problem is not what you think it is. It's the enemy trying to come in and steal your joy. So fight with a focus and realize that you're staying in unity and you're going to position yourself to walk in love. Let's deal with marriage for 1 minute. I used to think, because my dad told me, the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That means if you got to stay up all night, you're not going to bed till you stop fighting. Anybody ever heard something like that? I think it's a bad idea. Because around 3 a.m., you start losing your mind. Come on, somebody ought to help. Come on, West Palm. At least admit to me. Anybody ever thought, we're going to stay up all night? But now you're sleep deprived. You're out of your mind. And all of a sudden, you're seeing the knives that they gave you for the wedding gift. And you thought, come on, somebody help me right now. And all you can think about is, I remember Pastor said that all prisoners will be released. And this is what I'm telling you right now. God's going to forgive me. This is real. This is where rubber meets the road. Anybody ever had problems in relationships? Sometimes you just need to say, hey, I'm going to go to bed today, and I'm going to position myself tonight to say, I love you and you love me. You're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. But we're going to position ourselves right now, and we're going to stop letting the devil have the microphone or a megaphone, and we're going to say, you know what? We're going to act like things are right when they're not right, and then God's going to, somebody say amen to this. Now, I love this verse. It's verse 7. It says, are you not the God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? There it is again. He's your friend. There it is. He said he's going to give you back your land. He's going to drive out the people out of your land. I have a friend here this weekend that has been believing God for some acreage near his house. He said, I want it to be 10 miles from my house. 10 miles from my house. And there's no way, I know the area, there's no way that he could find 8 acres 10 miles from his house. I've scouted the area over the years looking for acreage at that location. All of a sudden, out of the clear blue, he had done some things, been obedient to the Lord for a number of years. He's here today, and he came up to me today and said, you know what? I got a contract on 8 acres. It's a beautiful piece of land. It's flat for horses, not hillside, and when I put it in my maps, it is exactly 10.0 miles from my existing house, and somebody already wants to buy my other house. Give God praise today. That's being in position for God to take property back to its original owner. I prophesy today that you're going to own a home. I prophesy today that God's bringing you up to a new level. I prophesy to you today that you will not need to fight in this battle. It's not going to take education. It's not going to take a promotion. It's coming from God. They're doing it. In other words, God can do in a moment what it could take you years and years of hard work to do. Verse 8 says, see, you'll dwell in that land that I've built a sanctuary in it, your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, pestilence, and famine, we will withstand this. We will be able to make it. Pestilence, famine, we will stand in the temple of the Lord. We will cry in our affliction, but we know that you have heard us. Verse 10 says, and now, here are the people of Moab and Ammon, and they're trying to invade us. These three groups are coming against us. Verse 13, it says, now Judah means praise. Everybody shout, Judah means praise. Judah means praise. It says, now all of Judah with their little ones, their wives, their children stood before the Lord. And the Spirit, that's a capital S, it means the Holy Spirit of the Lord, came upon Jehazel. We read that at the beginning. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Stand still, stand still, stand still, and see what the Lord is about to do. Judah means praise. If you remember, God spoke to me that this next revival would be a revival of worship. Revival of worship. How many of y'all raise your hands here and in Florida? You remember me saying that? Then God began to give us songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And in the same week that our revival released, a little guy named Kanye released a worship album which hit number one on every single song, hit number one on all over the world. And then right after that, P. Diddy shows up at the front row with his entire family at T.D. Jakes. I'm just here to tell you that God is taking back the music business. God is taking back the movie business. Come on, somebody agree with this. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. You don't have to figure out how to get the financing. God can do it. You don't have to figure out how you're going to fix your marriage. God can do it. You don't have to figure out how you're going to get over this drugs or of this abusive situation. I'm telling you, just settle yourself in to say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what's right because it's right. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to honor the Lord, and I'm going to know that He is bigger than me, and the problem's bigger than me, but God is a great big God, and He's got the whole wide world in His hand, and I'm telling you, He's taking back everything the enemy has stolen from you, and He's bringing it back to you in 2020. Put your faith on that. Devil, not today. God's about to do a quick work in your life. The battle's not yours. It is the Lord. I was thinking again while we were talking about flying. It's not today. I was thinking about, I had a woman flight instructor the last half of my training. Really good one. She's really good. And she would always slap my hands and say, what's the book say? What's the book say? Then she would say sometimes when she felt like the wind conditions were not favorable, when she thought that I would blame it, every time it was raining, I would always blame it on the rain. In fact, they always, if you've been to flight school, they give you a t-shirt when it's done and they write things you've said on it. And mine, it said, blame it on the rain, David Crank. Remember that song? Blame it on the rain, it was falling. Okay, that's what I have on my shirt. I'm not proud of it, but you guys need to know this. She said, you blame it on the rain. So sometimes she would grab the plane, but she wouldn't just grab the plane. She would tell me as she was grabbing it, I have the plane. I have the plane. Because she didn't want to fight me, fighting her, fighting the wind, fighting the rain. Because she knew more than I knew. She knew what to do in the difficult situation. I'm just here to tell you that some of you guys are grabbing the yoke, trying to control the plane, and God's going, give me the yoke, and the yoke has been destroyed because of the anointing. You just need to position yourself and realize you are going to see a great big win, but it's going to be because you did nothing but say, you know what? I'm going to stand here and position myself to announce 2020 is my banner year, and I will see with 2020 vision the dreams and hopes become a reality in my life. I'm here to tell you that all debts will be canceled, all prisoners will be released, and all properties going back to its original owner. Who's going with me on this right now? Position yourself to say, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm not worried. I'm not worked up about it. I have settled that it is not my fight. It is not my fight. It's the Lord's fight. Come on, give me some crazy praise for about 10 seconds in here. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's hot. It's hot. Getting hot in here. I want you to write this down. The Lord gave this to me. They didn't have to fight it, but they had to face it. They didn't have to fight it, but they had to face it. You don't have to fight the battle of addiction, but you have to face it. You don't have to fight the marriage, but you got to face it. You got to have difficult conversations. I hate these words. Can we talk when we get home? Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? Or a text, you're at a table with people, we need to talk about what just happened. How many of y'all know you just screwed the rest of the meal? I don't want to face it, but I don't have to fight on it. Just got to face it. You need to face it. That God is working behind the scenes to do what you cannot do, but you don't have to fight it. You just got to face it. And when you're facing it, you're not facing it alone. You're facing it not in your own power, not in your own might, but you're saying, you know what? I'm coming because I have the helmet of salvation on, the sword of the Spirit on. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and I'm not afraid to face it because I'm not facing it alone. I'm facing it in love. I'm facing it in joy. I'm facing it in peace. I'm facing it in long-suffering. I don't have to fight in it. But I got to face it. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to face it. Now that verse, next verse I want to go to, verse 17, it says, you will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourself to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Watch direction come. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground with Judah, or we could say praise, and Jerusalem, or the church here in West Palm, bowed before the Lord, and they began to worship him. Verse 20 says, so they rose early in the morning, and they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went out, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O people of Faith Church. Believe ye in God, and you will be established. Believe ye in the prophets, and so shall you prosper. More than just a pastor, I operate in the prophetic. Sometimes in the pathetic, but in the prophetic. And God showed me 4 years ago that we would have banner years, and we would have incredible years of blessing and breakthrough, and we've had that. We've had the most phenomenal things happen in our church, from outreach to preaching, even as I speak right now on the largest network in Pakistan. I'm preaching right now to people, Muslims in Pakistan, over 200 million. It's just unbelievable. Our reach is broad and our life is great. But I prophesy over you as a prophet. Believe ye the prophets and so shall you prosper. Notice this is 20, verse 20. 2020. In 2020, I prophesy. If you'll mix your faith with it, you will never face this battle of cancer again. You will never face this lack again. You will never face this life alone. I believe that God is bringing people's soulmates to them. I believe that people who could not get pregnant are pregnant. And we know that factually in our church. It has happened. But I need you to position yourself and say, guess what? God is about to do what nobody else can do. Now, as we go into the month of December, listen to this, Florida. Somebody sent me this, a DM on Twitter, or Instagram. It says, December, this will be the only time that you will see this in your lifetime. The month of December of this year, there will be 5 Saturdays, 5 Sundays, and 5 Mondays. 5, 5, 5. It only happens once every 823 years. The Chinese call it a bag full of money. And I'm just here to tell you that it is true. In December, I checked it. 5, 5, 5. And if you've been listening to me long, you know that I believe in grace, grace, and more grace. We can do this, this, and that. And this will be a December to remember. I'm shouting right now to people that are saying, this is the month I'm bringing my banner year offering in. This is the month that I'm coming off drugs. This is the month that I'll never be broke another day of my life. This is my year. Come on, give God some crazy praise. Hello. Quick work, quick work, quick work, quick work. Everybody shout, quick work, quick work, quick work. Y'all are rowdy. Florida, you're rowdy. I want to tell you a story in my last few minutes. I'm just here to tell you, if you had any clue how much you have to do with trusting in the Lord, how much that has to do with your deliverance, you'd freak out. If you knew, in fact, even today, I think maybe I want one of those Jubilee magazines. Maybe the ushers could get them to the people in a minute. If you need one of these today, I want you to get these. Maybe give, I just surprised everybody. Come on, West Palm, go grab them in here. This is the statements that God gave me, the phraseology. Get ready for a season of restoration and abundance. I want you to have these. Yeah. Ushers right now, you got some here. Raise your hand if you need one here in West Palm. I want to give you one of these. If you don't have one or you want another one, raise them real high. Just keep them up. It won't bother me. But I want you to know that you're about to have the time of your life. You're about to have an experience of Jubilee that you've never experienced before. Coming up just in a few weeks when we come into our Jubilee offering, where we believe that once a year we need to bring our biggest offering to the Lord. We believe that Christmas is not about the gifts that are under the tree, but the gift that hung on the tree. So we believe that our checkbook should not reflect and our MasterCard should not reflect that we're giving more to our kids than we are to God and what He's done in our life. So once a year we do it, and that offering's coming up, and we're all going to give, and we're going to do some great things in for the kingdom. Second thing we're going to do is that God spoke to me and said that He's coming back in a revival here in St. Louis in the spring. But He told me, He said, I didn't say I'm coming to the spring. Get ready, West Palm, to shout. He said, I didn't say I'm coming to in the spring in Florida. I'm coming in the winter. And I believe in the month of February that we're going to have 2 days, not 4 days. We had 4 days here, but we're going to have 2 days of heaven on earth of the same level of revival that we had here. We're going to have it in West Palm Beach, Florida. Come on, West Palm. Come on, St. Louis. Some of you need to fly there. It's going to happen. God's been speaking to me. Last thing I want to say is this. All prisoners going back. God even began to deal with me, and I realized that all prisoners means that some of you are a prisoner of debt, pornography, abusive behavior. Whatever's held you in prison, God's about to set you free. Of course, God gave me a word of knowledge. There was a guy in here that had an ankle bracelet on, and his kids were tapping on the ankle bracelet saying, it's you, Dad, it's you, Daddy. And he, obviously, he wasn't comfortable. But the next night, he came and said, that was me. And God blessed him beyond measure. It was a quick work. But I do believe that it is more than just that. I believe that there's some people who have family members that are in prison. Literal prison. Doing hard time. Listen to me right now. I'm talking to moms. I'm talking to wives. I'm talking to kids. That your loved one was put in prison and they even did the crime. But the Lord spoke to me today. And He said, many of my people have done the crime. I speak to you prophetically. But He said they, because of their loved ones seeking me, because of their loved ones positioning themselves behind the microphone of praise and worship, He said they did the crime, but they will not do the time. He's going to bring them out of prison in a supernatural way. Come on, give God some praise. It doesn't affect you because your dad's not in prison. You're not excited because your daughter's not in prison. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in prison, and you will hear it right here on these big screens, and people will say, I was in prison, but somehow God reversed it. You mark my words. Here's one of the reasons why I know it. When the Lord said it to me and I told my family, it's about the same time that I said on Tuesday night that God was going to give, somebody was going to give my drummer a car. How many of you were here when that happened? How many of y'all in Florida? How many of y'all were watching in Florida? You saw it on Instagram. And there was a woman who came up from the Weldon campus and gave the guy the most beautiful convertible Mustang. Unbelievable. He left singing, Mustang Sally. Yeah. God did a quick. So here's what happened. I was preaching one time at a big convention in Florida, and I met a guy, and the guy had went to prison for murder. He told the story how that he had gotten free through a supernatural thing, and I forgot about it. Then about 2 months ago, I was in Nashville, and I saw the biggest church I've ever seen in my life. I've been to all of them. Big, giant escalators going all the way up and down the thing, and I said, I'm getting ready to go on the stage, and I said, who built this church? I want to know who built this church. They said a guy named Maury. Maury. So what's his last name? He said, Maury Davis. I said, that wouldn't be the guy that went to prison, would it? I said, yeah. He said, he's on the news like crazy. He went to prison for murder, but God got him out supernaturally. He came out and built one of America's biggest churches. Now, here's the funny thing about it. They texted him and told him I was there. He ran over to the church, and we hung out, and I asked him a million and one questions because he's a few months older than I am. And I asked him about the church and what God did. And after God had told me, listen, we're almost done. After God told me that, all of a sudden now, I get a call this week from Maury. Come here, Maury. Maury said, I don't know why, but I just feel led to go to St. Louis and be with you this weekend. I have no clue why I'm here, but I just feel like being here. And then today, on the front row, I look over, and Maury Davis, who went to prison for murder, who built one of America's biggest churches, is standing here right now. I'm telling you, God's doing a quick work. Somebody ought to shout it, quick work. Give me a mic. Come on, Florida, give God praise today. So, you can be seated, because we're just going to take a couple minutes. Okay. And I just want you to tell the story of what happened. Because I believe there's a lot of people believing what I'm saying about right now.
Real quick. 18 years of age, never been in church in my life. I'm a meth addict, speed freak back in 1975. In the middle of a crime, I committed a brutal, brutal murder. No excuse, horrible. And in Texas, they will put you in the electric chair. I got saved. Didn't know anything about God, but a pastor, my attorney, had just gotten saved, and the pastor came and talked to me, and a backslidden Christian came into my area and had rededicated his life to Christ, and God supernaturally saved me. I didn't know what God was going to do with my life, but on May the 18th, 5 months after I was arrested, I was arrested, and I went to trial, and on that night, I was sent to prison for 20 years. My jury foreman had been possessed with a demon of murder as a law enforcement officer, and God had delivered him, and he put his badge down and became an insurance salesman, and 11 jurors said life. He said, no way. That boy's been saved. One man changed my destiny. I wrote a letter to my mother that night, and I said, Mother, God has given us a miracle, and here's what I believe God is going to do with my life. And I talked about doing school assemblies and building a church and being on national television and traveling around the world. October the 28th of last year, I said goodbye to my church. That still gets me. Church I love, and transitioned it to my son because I believe it's time for the next generation to have that anointing. And I did something that night I'd never done. I took that letter from my mother, and I wrote it each one of my children. I made a copy for each one of my children. God has allowed me to build a great church and plant churches all over America. We've got 2,000 churches in Kenya. I have been on every major Christian program. Our TV show covered the nation, the continent of Africa and Western and Eastern Europe. God allowed us to do that. Been on Fox and Hannity and all those, Huckabee and all those guys, about things. But at the end of the day, one of the great honors of my life was to write in red letters for each of my children. This was the dream God gave me that they said was impossible. And I want every one of you to know I wrote done. My goal for you is that every dream God gives you and every dream God gives you, at some point, you would tell your children, done.
You did it. Come on, Maury. Come on, give it up for Maury. Real quick, before you go, though, I want you to tell them the story about the lottery. Like, give us a little bit more detail, because how many of y'all got 2 more minutes at church today? Come on, West Palm. So, how, they say you're going to do the hard time forever. You did murder. Then there was some kind of lot. How did it happen? What was the?
I was in prison for 8.5 years. Now, you need to understand, I was in prison. I wasn't in a federal prison. I was in a state prison in Texas. I was picking cotton. And I stopped at a cotton field the other day and told one of my kids, come here, I'm going to show you how to pull cotton. He said, Dad, I don't want to learn that. I said, well, just in case you ever need to know it. And this was a week ago. If I see a cotton field, I always stop and pick a little bit just for old habits. But I was in prison for 8.5 years, and the governor had said, I'm not ever signing your parole. You're going to do every day. Texas had an overcrowded problem, and they ran a lottery. I won the lottery and got out of prison with time served. You know what they'd say in your language?
What?
Quick work.
Quick work. Come on, somebody shout, quick work. Hey, hang on, not yet. Okay, so you win the lottery. How long have you been pastoring? Because first of all, tell them the name of your church for people. In
Cornerstone, Nashville.
Okay, so all your stars go there. All the big country music guys go there. In fact, one of the old stars teaches Sunday school there. Don Strange, you'll know this. John Conley. Rose-colored glasses.
John Conley. One of the most humble men. He leads worship in one of our senior adult programs. We have about 375 people in the senior adult class.
And he still hosts the Grand Ole Opry. And
on Saturday night?
On Saturday night.
He's had the most visitors in our church. The most visitors in our church come from the Saturday night Grand Ole Opry because he says, tomorrow morning, I'm singing at Cornerstone Church, and they just all come.
Unbelievable. So, won the lottery. It's all a divine favor of God. And I want everybody to stand up, and we're going to pray right now. I delivered a word this weekend going into Thanksgiving weekend for you here in West Palm. Remember, it doesn't matter that I'm not there. I was in the lobby last week shaking hands, and I rotate back and forth. But God has called me to do something and deposit these words right now in this season to get you advanced strategically. Raise your hand if you like the way it's been happening strategically, okay? You can put it down. The Holy Spirit... Just look at me just for a second. It wasn't by accident, Maury, that you called me. I didn't call him. He called me and said, I'm just coming in. I'm like, no way. Then I look over and he looks so good. And I thought, wow, this confirms the position that you need to take. You need to take the position of, I'm not worried about it. I can't change it, but God can. I can't get myself out of debt, but God can. What I have in my hand is not enough to meet my need. I'm going to make it in my seed. I'm going to participate in this season of supernatural breakthrough. I feel led by the Holy Spirit to have you, Maury. I'm not going to pray. You're going to pray. And I'm going to allow him to pray for you online. And on Facebook, you need to be hitting share like crazy. West Palm, I want you to stretch your hands toward this man of God. Sunset Hill, stretch your hands. Maury, I want you to pray right now over people that are in prison of whatever area, that they would, quote unquote, win the lottery with a supernatural quick work. Would you do that?
I will, because he is a way maker.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make a way.
Yeah.
Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for a church that is full of the Spirit. I thank you for a pastor that is preaching an uncompromising truth. And I thank you that where the truth has gone forward, freedom will follow, because the truth will set you free. God, I pray that in the lives of the people that are in this room, they're online, they're in West Palm, every person that is affected through the technology and the ministry reach of this congregation would experience an anointing of freedom. They would experience a power in their life that supernaturally gives them victory over addictions that limit their destiny, over relationships that trap them from their potential. I pray that you would set them free from bondage and spirits of torment. God, what the devil has said is over, I pray you would say is never over, that old things would pass away and all things would be made new, and the past would not control the future. The nightmare would not stop the dream. And God, through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would break the bonds and let your people enjoy the freedom that comes from your presence. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, give God some crazy praise today.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.